What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
How are you guys doing?
It's been a week. Been a week for sure, but I'm good.
Yes, it has been. Yeah. Anyone have any funny stories?
I got one. I got one, but I'm trying to see if someone else has a funny story.
Yeah.
I mean, no, not really. No, I don't have a funny one this time.
You sure you don't want to tell me? You just told me in the kitchen?
No, no, we're not doing that. That is, no. And no one will ever, no one else should ever know about. You shouldn't even know that.
No, okay, we'll record a clip. No, I'll let you start if you got something.
No,
I don't have anything.
Okay, all right. So I got off work a little late, and it's like a 20-25 minute commute back home. So I thought when you said, because we were recording at 7:30, I thought you meant 7:30 my time. So I'm busting my ass trying to get home. I'm like trying to get clips together, all that stuff. And then I go, fuck, it's 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, not Mountain Time. So I'm like, shit, all that time I spent trying to do this, I could have made some dinner. So I was like, all right, I'll just hop on my bike and I'll ride over across the street to this little like 24-hour Mexican spot for like a burrito. And I pull up, like I walk inside the door and I get behind this guy. Now he was probably like in his 60s, maybe his 70s. And, you know, it's like, even though it's 24-hour Mexican, it's not like some, like, you know, everybody in the, like the actual kitchen, all the staff, they just basically speak Spanish. They barely speak English. Right. And he goes up to them and he goes,
excuse me, can I get a quesarito?
And she just looks at him and goes, okay. And he's like,
okay. A quesarito, you know, the burrito with sauce on it. And it's got the meat inside.
And I'm like, I'm looking there. I'm like, I'm dumbfounded. Like, oh my God, this is not real. So she's like, I don't know. And he goes, yeah, I've had it before. It's like, it's got sauce on it. And it's like a burrito. And I look at him. I'm like, I think you meant like an enchilada, man. And he's like, no. And I was like, a burrito with wet sauce, like sauce on it. He's like, yeah, that's the thing, an enchilada. And I'm like, my guy, that is a meal at Taco Bell. And he's like, no, they had it here. I swear.
And knows all about that, eh?
Yeah.
Only when I'm drunk.
He's like, dude, they have enchiladas here. I'm like, look, order just a burrito with red sauce on it. He's like, okay. And then he gets it. And he's like, see, that's an enchilada. That's what I was talking about. And she's like, okay. I'm like, dude, just fucking take your loss and get out. I'm like trying to order. I'm just sitting there. Like, I got nothing going on. So that was just, honestly, for a boring week, that was a boring, like for a boring week, like nothing to really write home about. It was a good little story right there because I don't know, man. It's so funny to like listen to people in Idaho who are just inherently just uncultured. Yep. Like even I'm not that cultured, but like Sage, for example, I asked Sage and her mom, sorry to like throw them under the bus, but I asked Sage and her mom how they pronounce taqueria. Sage says, Taqueria.
Ew.
What?
I swear to God. And Sage's mom, you know what she says? Taqueria.
No. Oh my God. That sounds like someone trying to say, I want taquitos when they're drunk.
Yes.
Taqueria.
I'm not going to lie, Keith. When you say,
dude, hook me up some of those taquerias, man.
Say kindergarten for me, please, Keaton.
Kindergarten.
No, it's not kindergarten. It's not kindergarten. My dad's side does the same shit. It's not kindergarten. Is it kindergarten?
Okay, well.
It's kindergarten. There's a D in there. I've always called
it kindergarten.
It's not a soft R.
I don't know there's an R. I don't know. It's like Yoggers, you know? It's not really meant to be, you know, it's really not like meant to be accepted by everyone.
There's a hard R there, Keaton.
Hey, I don't know about those, but, you know, that's okay. We'll leave that to Anthony,
shall we? No, but seriously, man. Sometimes I feel bad for people like that old man. Like, I want to say this, like, but sometimes you just got to yop those guys, man. Survival of the fittest.
Okay. Well,
you keep saying yop like you're not from the Bay Area, but that's, you know.
Okay.
I'm Kellogg sorry. Loop. All right. Let's
shout out to Kellogg Loop.
That's bad. All right. Let's.
That's where all the PTSD comes
from. Yeah. All the hood stuff. Mama won't let me go back. All right.
Jesus,
we're gonna go ahead and get into this real quick.
Settle down.
Sin City was a maybe. Sin.
Y'all ladies all right?
JD's oh, you saw that? Oh, you saw that? Oh,
wow.
My God.
Wow, what an intro.
What an intro that was. Well, JD's and Lettleman, welcome to episode 5 of In the End Zone featuring Isaac. Now, we brought him on here for mainly for one specific reason. And for those who are watching, you can see his headliner is 0-4, Eckler, kill yourself. And meaning, there it is.
We don't support suicide.
And meaning that Isaac here is 0-4 in his fantasy league. So one of the main things we'll be diving into in this episode specifically is Isaac's fantasy team, where his team has gone wrong, and just how bad his team is at the moment. Sorry, Isaac, but we believe in you. You can bounce back, and hopefully you can make it into playoffs.
No, I think playoffs is out of the picture. I think it's just survival at this point. Try not to get last. That's the goal.
I need
Darwinism,
to see,
baby.
I need to see what your Darwinism, percentage is
like
right
said,
now
bro.
To get in.
Like
Isaac,
no, it's probably donut.
The plan is just to not eat anything fucking spicy. That's
all
it.
Right.
You gotta win one fucking game.
All right, boys.
That's the goal.
What's your guys' guess? Without looking at fantasy right now, percentage. Percentage for Isaac's chance of getting in the playoffs. Isaac's saying 0. Zach, what do you think?
19.
19? 19. What about
you? I'm saying 12%. I look at this and it's not even like a bad lineup. It's just
Keaton,
a shitty luck.
Keaton, here's the closest. Isaac has a 13% chance of making it into the playoffs. So Isaac, you got a 13% chance.
Now that you're there, tell us all of our percentages.
All right. I'll start with the East and go into our West. All right. So in the East, so Diego has an 86% chance of making it into the playoffs. John Bueno has a 68% chance. Me, I have a 72% chance. Zach, you have a 48% chance. Keaton has a 50% chance. Hunter has a 32% chance. Stewie has a 59% chance. T. Lou has a 65% chance. Alex has a 38% chance. Don't know how that's even possible. And Mitchell has a 39% chance. And last but not least, Eamon Smith has a whopping 30% chance. So the next lowest percentage chance is 30, besides 13. Is right.
That is brutal.
That is very brutal. Isaac, it says in the final standing projections currently that you are last.
Yeah,
you
no,
will end last.
That would make sense. Old news. Old news for this guy.
It's been like that since week 2.
Yeah, I got blue balled week 1. I get Austin Eckler scoring 26, Herbert 20. You know, like some of the other players 17. You know, I got a bench player scoring 15. I'm feeling confident. I'm like, oh yeah, season's gonna look maybe not the greatest, but playoffs is in the picture. And then boom, MIA, Austin Eckler gone. Don't know where he went.
Let's look at your week 1. Looks like you had 20 points.
Here, let me pull
sprained
this week
ankle.
One real quick.
Yeah, pull it up on there. Yeah.
Come on.
We'll save Isaac for last on this, all right? We'll actually do it right now.
We'll just go into it. This is Isaac's week 1 team right here. Look at the score. Like, it's above projected, not by much.
Yeah.
But then, like, you had an underproduction from Kittle, Terry McLaurin underproductive, and Joe Mixon underproductive, right? And you're like, I imagine you're walking into this like, okay, it's like week 1 jitters, you know, like some teams didn't play this week or like didn't play well this week. Like it'll balance out.
Well, like Mixon had like a rainy game. So I was like, you know what? Rainy days, you know, not a lot's going to happen. Whatever. We'll bounce back week 2. Look at week 2. Just at this, you know, don't look at week 2. It's just terrible.
Ah! Hey, you finished above projected, man.
You did.
There's a silver lining.
Did Darnell Mooney have 0 points?
Yeah. I was going to say, you want to tell me what Darnell Mooney did for my team? Nothing. He was there
did
for
he have any targets?
Before.
He have...
Didn't do anything.
Did he have any targets
that
week?
He looks like Geno Smith.
No, Keaton, go back to Darnell. Scroll down. Keep going. Keep going. Show more. Let's see. He had zero targets week two. Go up right there. Yep. Against Tampa Bay. Yeah.
He got
zero targets.
Then he had one against KC.
And four against Denver.
And he scored 15 week one.
I was going to say, at least he did something week one, but
he's on my bench.
Horrible.
Well, man, like the whole bench just didn't really perform well. And obviously, Austin Eckler's out.
Yeah, that was a terrible week overall team.
So if we zoom to week three, you know, obviously we're hoping for some miracles because Justin Herbert's playing out of his ass. Even Joe Mixon had an okay game. Like 14 points is not bad.
It's not it's not bad.
No.
Especially for how the Bengals are doing right now, too. Man. That's not bad for Joe Mixon.
Flex position is struggling.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah. Well, my plan was to have Mixon, Eckler, and then have Herbert as my flex and maybe just flex around my flex with other players. But no.
Yeah.
You want to know where Austin Eckler was this whole time? Nowhere. Gone. Nowhere to be found. And what's frustrating about week three, I played you, Zach.
Nah.
45 points, Mostert, 30 points, Hill. And then Deshaun Watson decides to play again. Probably got a massage the night before.
Started playing I was really well. About to say the same thing.
Gosh, just run out of my
life. And then this week, what happened?
This week, I was winning, and I feel embarrassed. Because I put Mr. Cheddar like this in the chat saying, I'm back, boys. And then Christian McCaffrey decides to score 48 points.
Dude, he went fucking ballistic.
48?
Look at that. 48 and a half. And Justin Fields had 30 almost.
Yeah. And it's not like – I don't even think my team played bad that
– Dude, you're getting 50 bombed left and right.
Yeah.
Look at the rest of fucking Diego's team.
I know. It was ass.
That's trash.
Like, what do I do? Like, what?
It's like George Kittle is having a horrible, very bad, no good year. He hasn't been anywhere productive. Considering how dominant he was.
I think I'm moving on from George Kittle. But no, Zach said this. He's like, fantasy can make or break your day. It's like, either if they're doing good. And it's crazy. It's like, I see my Niners win every week, week in, win out. And then fantasy just ruins it for me. Can't even appreciate a 4-0 team. And then I go to church. I go to church and I come out fuming, having to walk back in and pray to God, telling me like, "Man, help me out. Just help me out this one week. I just need one. I just need one."
God,
it's frustrating.
You go to confession.
Oh yeah, I do all the time.
God. I'm sorry for praying that bucket.
Yeah.
Will get hurt in the third quarter.
Yeah, dude, it's like telling the priest, like, hey, I ain't going to lie.
He's on your fucking team, bud. I don't give a fuck. I need a win.
The priest is like, nah, dude, fuck that guy as well. Like, I have Austin Eckler in our Catholic league right now, and Sister Mary kicked my ass, bro. Sister Mary had Sam LaPorta and just busted my ass.
Nah, bro. The Pope had Christian McCaffrey, bro. I was so pissed.
Nah, I was like, it's like, God, like, I forgive me for I said that, like, Austin Eckler, I told him to kill himself. And he's just like, I feel you, dog. I know what you mean.
God.
Dude, look at that.
Sprained ankle, too. Get over it.
Fuck it.
Take some
He's going to win MVP, bro. It's crazy.
They hurt, Isaac. They hurt. Sprained ankles are no joke.
That's not true. They are a joke.
No, they are not.
Clown.
Break your ankles as much as I have, Keaton. Then they're no joke.
Do they hurt right now?
Yes, they do.
All right, guys, welcome back to the 2023 award show for most injuries. This award goes to someone who always breaks his ankles. Anthony Thomas, will you please stand up?
No, be careful.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Anthony had the opportunity to win. Anthony had the opportunity to win Comeback Player of the Year every year, but he just goes back to where he was.
Yeah.
Anthony is Jamal Adams. Jamal Anthony.
Yes. All right. Oh, we're on to my team now. Okay.
All right.
So for the most part, everyone did pretty good. The only players that did not really perform well were Goddard and, honestly, shockingly, Stevenson. Well, not shockingly, they went against fucking Dallas. We're not talking about that game. But Jordan Love went over his projection. That was great. Najee Harris actually got double digits for the first time this season for me. He will be benched.
Love projection, too.
Just wow. About, yeah.
Look at well, this bum running
back. He's now going to be benched because Eamon and I just made a trade. So I will now have Aaron Jones starting on my team this week.
Who did you trade?
Traded Marquise Brown and Palmer.
Four?
To him.
Palmer?
Aaron Jones. Yeah.
Oh, Josh Palmer.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
This bothers me, by the way.
Okay.
You could have balled out.
Well, here's the thing, though. I already won.
Yeah, explain yourself. And I was literally about to tell you to do that.
So I already won. It was already 115 to 110. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to start a defense. I was all like, I don't want to even risk about going negative at all. I don't want it. Okay. I don't want anything like that. So I was like, there's no point for me to do that. So I'm benching them. And obviously it sucked that they were benched, but because I would have got more points forced. Right. But at the same time, I was like, I got the dub. Doesn't matter. Okay. Let's talk about before we get into AJ Brown. I want to go a little bit more into Davante Adams a little bit here. Davante Adams got injured halfway through the game, came back halfway through the game with, by the way, when he came back in halftime, he had zero targets, zero. And I was like, this is crazy. Why the fuck isn't, what is his name? O'Connelly, whatever it is.
Farva.
O'Connell. Yeah. He did not pass to him at all. He wasn't giving anything to Davante. But then third, fourth quarter, like I think at one point, Davante Adams had six catches straight in a row. Like he was just passing it. Davante, six times in a row, caught all six in a row, which was awesome. He ended up coming back a little bit with 15 points, which I will take. So that was scaring me a little bit, but still props to him. But AJ fucking Brown, man. AJ He's Brown. So good.
AJ He's Brown is such a generational.
Oh, yeah. And I don't,
yeah,
like go down to his right there.
He's nine catches, up. He is
175 yards, two touchdowns, 13 targets total. I am a little bit worried though for you, Isaac, since you do have Devontae Smith. I am tad bit worried because of that, because where his fantasy production is going to go, because AJ Brown is going off and Jalen Hurts is liking AJ Brown right now, but nevertheless. Right.
Here's my thing with that. Like I don't know, this is how I think about it right now. It's like AJ Brown is popping off, which will switch a lot of teams' defense to be their primary focus on AJ Brown. So right. I think it may free up Devontae Smith. And I don't need him to have like this crazy production, but if I could get like maybe 4 to 5 catches a game and a touchdown.
Yeah. No, that's all you need right there. And yeah. The thing is, too, is like what Devontae points. Smith got you like what 11, 14 points this week still?
He hasn't been terrible. Like,
yeah, no, he hasn't like, been terrible for you, which is fine. Nah, like, that's still not bad for fantasy.
Yeah, but, it's like 1 week 17, one other week 11, 28, and then back to 11. So it's not been bad at all.
And then also, you're going to look at that.
Yeah, 14.8.
14, that's not bad. 14.8. So then another thing, too, honestly, I am. Ooh, go back to my team.
Oh, am I not there? Oh, I'm not.
No. There you go. One thing that I'm just kind of shocked about is honestly, my kicker has been popping the fuck off. It's kind of disgusting. Like, week one, like he's had, I think, like 15, 14, 8, 14, some shit like that. I don't know. He's been kind of carrying my team a little bit too. So I've been kind of happy about that as well. Marquise Brown on the bench there. He did really, really well. He popped off against SF, which I was shocked about. I didn't start him. I didn't start him because of that reason. He was going against that Niners defense.
You could have been so cooked this week, though. You have to thank your lucky.
Oh, I really could have.
I didn't start Jalen Hurts.
In the podcast last episode, I said, "Oh, I'm giving you a hint." Yeah,
wow.
He picked up. He picked up A-Chain and didn't play him. That is insane.
Yeah. No.
So here's the thing.
Told me that he pushed out Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins at 1 a.m. on Sunday. 1 a.m.
He must have been so
stoked.
in the podcast on our last episode when he was here, I said, T-Lou, you're going against me. I probably should be saying this, but you need to start Jalen Hurts against me. He will go off. And T-Lou was all like, I don't know. And he put him in then, and then he took him out, put Kirk Cousins instead. Pacheco popped off too.
I don't know. That one I can see. The Jalen one's kind of ballsy. Pacheco on the bench, I can see. Just because the Jets defense has been decent against
him. You know how much money he put into Achan? He put $230 or $250 into Achan.
I'm furious about that because I thought I was shooting high. I didn't want to be that guy to just drop this huge bomb. But I was like, all right, I think not like $85 is pushing $90. I don't think anyone's going about that.
He's almost used his whole – dude, he's at $60 left on his budget.
Here's a fucking thing.
$250 just bam. I was like, dude. You got
here's the fucking thing. John set the fucking bar by bidding $250 for Ford from Cleveland, bro. And that was week two, week three. I was like, John, what are you doing? And now every single running back that could be like, even in the flex, not even an RB1 or RB2, they could be put in the flex right now, is going for like $150 to $250.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fucking normal. Also, I just realized that two of the top 20 fucking wide receivers in the league are named Devontae. Like, that's never like processed in my head.
They're spelled differently. They're spelled differently.
No, they are, but that is kind of crazy.
Devonta Smith and Devontae Adams.
Let's go over Zach. Let's talk about my team's game. Let's talk about both of your guys. Well, you guys played against each other. After this, let's go to the next this current week, and let's take a look at who we're playing against this week and go over that a little.
I'll just make it quick. Yeah. Well, I'll start really
quick.
I'm just gonna be honest. Debo, get him out of here. T. Higgins.
Benching him?
He's hurt, right? You have to.
No, he's fucking healthy now. Well, he's questionable, but
yeah, I'm about to say.
Look at this. Contract year for T. Higgins, and he puts up 9.2 points a game. He put up zero in week one. Then he had an outlier game of 28.9. I go, oh, sick. Like, he won me my week. I put up like 190 points almost. And then these stinkers, man. He's put up like he's put up 8 points. In 3 weeks, 8 points in 3 weeks, and almost 30 in 1 week. Hockenson played like shit. Literally, I won by, what was it? 90. I won by 5 points. Wow. The Cowboys defense had 26 fantasy points. Second time in 2 weeks, or in 4 weeks. Yeah, 18.8 average points.
Such bullshit.
They had -2 last week against Arizona, and then they popped off against New England. But look at that, 35, 16, and 26.
No,
I'll give it to you.
They're the highest scoring defense, aren't they?
They are. Oh yeah. Yeah. The only team that had more points last week for defense was Seattle, and they had like
that makes sense.
A fumble recovery.
We'll talk about that later.
11 sacks. Yeah.
I want to talk about the Giants special team so bad. That's like the worst special teams I think I've ever seen, including JV football. So, fifth quarter football, I think, is better than the Seattle Seahawks, or excuse me, the fucking Giants special teams. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Well, my team,
if you're done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, real quick. I mean, Kenneth Walker had an okay game. Gino just like that. He just didn't even need to play well for us to win. That game is literally like a gift basket.
He was also hurt for the whole second quarter.
He was. You could tell he wasn't feeling it. Like, he didn't really start. I'm not worried about him. Well, like 4 minutes of the game. But
Tony Pollard. Like, for at least half of the second quarter.
No, it was like 3:22 is when he went out.
Oh, okay.
Because Drew Locke came in and tried to do a 2 minute warning. Tony Pollard played like shit as well. I mean, obviously, and they're going up against San Francisco. If you look at what my team's doing this week, I have.
Let's look at that Gino after. Let's look at that after.
Yeah. Okay. I was just gonna say I've got a ton of players on bye, so I'm.
We're gonna look at the who we're playing against and all that after.
Yeah.
Let's make it real.
Zach, let's talk about this.
The only highlight that I can say is Alvin Kamara coming back and scoring 21, which was way above projected, which was awesome. And my kicker might be the most consistent player I have on my team. Go to him right now. I think he's averaging 16 points.
Number 2. He's number 1.
15 points. He should be a flex. It's insane. He's going ballistic every week. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, Mostert, all them took a fucking poop because they played Buffalo. Michael Thomas was running slants but not getting fucking receptions. Darren Waller looks like an old fucking man out there running around, bro.
He's so bad.
I don't know what the fuck is happening with Darren Waller. He actually looks slow as fuck. out there.
Arthritis.
Slow as fuck. He honestly looks like Kenny Golladay. Like, he just doesn't want to play for the Giants. I think it's the Giants effect.
Going back to our draft day, Zach Boyson saying, Darren Waller could be the number one tight end in the NFL.
That's
the worst. That might be the worst reach I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, big reach. And that's, I did in both leagues too.
I mean, hey, T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins was my first round pick. So,
yeah. Then you go to my fucking bench, second and round. Deshaun was out. You know, Deshaun was able to play, and he took himself out. He said, "I don't want to." What a fucking bitch!
And he did it at the last minute.
Gabe Davis, I've been fucking sleeping on for 3 weeks in a row now. Romeo Dobbs, I literally just picked up, and I was debating between him and fucking Michael Thomas. Didn't do that, and then I get Cooper Kupp back. So, next week should be decent, but
we'll hop into that. Yeah, I won't hop on too much on my team. What's going on next week? It's going to be a shit show. You want to pull up
the whole thing against the other team as well? If you can do that,
we can do that. Real quick, I have Geno. I'm projected to win by two. Oh no! He's projected to win by two. I have T.J. Hockenson, which he's got to finish well. I have to put Michael Gallup in against San Francisco.
Not good.
No, Debo against Dallas. Not good. Samaji Perine against the Jets. Debo is fighting an injury right now too. Every single one of these players right now, except for Nick Folk, is playing against a top 10 defense. San Francisco, Buffalo, KC, San Francisco, Dallas, New York Jets, San Francisco, Carolina. If you go down to my bench, Kenneth Walker, David Njoku, and Geno Smith. And
not good.
I had to take out T. Higgins as well. Oh, I'm just benching him. I'm over T. Higgins. Like, if he pops off, I'm not going to be upset. So he's on time.
Dude, I don't know. Who are they playing? Aren't they playing someone meanie?
Let me just.
Yeah, they're playing Cardinals? The Cardinals, bud. You might want to.
No, he's still questionable, so we'll see if that changes.
You're starting Gallup.
Oh, he's projected zero, so he's probably a not going to play.
Yeah, he's probably going
to. He is.
What does it say?
Oh, fractured rib. That
bad, man.
So.
Oh.
They suck. Anyway.
Pussy.
Isaac, go ahead and cover your team a little bit.
Well, I'm just picking up a kicker, and I'm hoping for the best. He may carry my whole team, because my team fucking sucks.
Isaac, this is
at least you're aware of it.
No, and it sucks though, because like me picking Joe Mixon, dude, I thought I got a steal. I thought I was like, dude, I got two really good running backs, man. Austin Ekeler, Joe Mixon, and that's why I wasn't worried about receivers, because like, oh, those guys are gonna pop off, and I'm gonna have Devontae Smith, you know, some receptions and McLaurin, but nah, the chumps, all of them.
There's no way he's this bad for the rest of the year, though.
He is.
The Bengals are not gonna be that bad for the rest of the year.
They're going to sell at the deadline.
It is week five now, Zach. It's week five now. This was that's an argument. That's an argument when it's week three.
Yeah.
Nope.
They should be clicking by now. Like, it's, I don't know.
They were clicking this hard last year.
Not one in fucking three bad.
It's probably because they don't have an indoor training facility. I say, I'm going to go give the Bengals some money and be like, build something. So these.
Hey, I work for a bank. I could probably clear out a little bit of money.
I think they end at least.
This is not leak. That is not real. I would never do that. ICCU, thank you. So, you cannot hold me liable. Anyway.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, both of our teams just stink.
That's your first strike, Keaton.
Yeah, that is strike one. All right, Anthony. All right. You want to talk about your team a little bit? Ramondre, yes. Man.
So far, honestly, all around the board, it's not looking bad. You know, Zay Flowers, not looking bad going up against Pittsburgh there, so I'm a little bit excited for that. Hopefully Lamar can do something with Zay Flowers this week. Najee Harris, that chump can get out of the fucking starting lineup once I get Aaron Jones into my lineup this week. So that way it will be Jordan Love, Ramondre Stevenson, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, Goddard, Flowers, Dolphins defense, which is going against the Giants. Super pumped for that one. And Tyler Bass, who has just been
crazy awesome. How well Love is playing, like at least fantasy wise.
Oh, yeah.
He's QB1, right?
Fantasy wise, he's playing great. No. And he's the number four quarterback.
He's four.
He was one last week, though.
He was one last week.
Yeah.
Now he's four. And then I have
Josh Allen.
like, and wide receivers, right? Devontae Adams, I have, he's number six and AJ Brown's number eight. And my kicker is number four. Like,
but then this is what scares me. 23, 37, 30, 34, 28.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's not like your team's bad. You're 3-1.
No, I'm one of me and John are the only teams that are 3-1 right now. So yeah, I'm not too worried. And plus I'm going against Alex's team. I really have no concern about his team. And the only people I'm actually kind of concerned about are Bijan and Amon-Ra. Other than that, and maybe DJ Moore because they're going against Washington. But Washington's defense honestly is not horrible. So
no,
DJ Moore sucks, bro. He doesn't fucking suck. Excuse me. They are not using him. I'll say that.
Yeah, no.
No. And now they're in the market for a wide receiver.
Also, Keaton. You know how we were shitting on Josh Allen week one?
Nope. Don't remember that at all.
I certainly wasn't.
I don't remember that.
I remember when you were shitting on Tua Tagovailoa
for MVP. Well, I still do. Yeah. I mean, look what he did this week against a good team.
Yeah. So I would say my take on Josh Allen is not bad in week one. So that's my team. You know, I'm feeling confident about going up against Alex. I don't really fear his team at all, really. So I think it's going to be pretty good. Zach, on to you now, bud.
You haven't set your lineup. That's why.
He's waiting for.
Yeah, I can't really talk on my team too much because I'm waiting kind of on some waiver wire pickups. And then I'm also waiting to see if Cooper Kupp is. No, he has a bye. I'm going to wait to see if Cooper Kupp is going to play or not. So, yeah, that's my team so far, but I'm not going to be playing Aiden O'Connell. I would hope that I could play Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp. That would be awesome to see, like, my lineup with its full potential, and then I'll go from there. I haven't really looked at Stewie's team, to be honest with you, but looking at Stewie's team
honestly is not horrible. It's really decent. Not.
Yeah.
What quarterback are
you thinking about? Which is going to be fucking snagging. Oh, I'm not saying that.
It's not like we need any of us to need a quarterback. This week.
You could take Geno Smith this week. He's going to play.
So, you have Geno.
You going Dobbs or are you going Zach Wilson?
I'll trade you for a week.
He's going Zach Wilson.
I don't want Geno Smith.
You're going Zach Wilson.
But the thing is, looking at Stewie's team is going to fucking suck. Rooting for fucking Tyreek Hill because Tua's throwing the ball. So it's like, it's kind of like a win-lose situation, you know, but I need Tyreek Hill to fucking do something, not like he did fucking last week, bro.
Tyreek runs a lot of those fly routes. So like he gets a lot of handoffs too. So like
right.
How do you feel about he can break
one against the fucking bummy fucking Giants?
How do you feel about Achan and Mostert now? Like what are your thoughts about that right now?
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not too worried about it. If Achan's or however you say his last name's production continues to be exactly like how it has been in the last 2 weeks, then I'll get worried. But Achan, I don't know. I'm not like super worried about it because he's a rookie and I feel like they've been destroying people. Last week was a little worrisome though. I'll say that because Mostert didn't do much and he did really well. So if he continues to produce as much as he's doing the last 2 weeks and Mostert kind of like drops off, I'm going to be definitely worried because if that's the fucking case, I have no clue I'm going to play there. So,
yeah.
Also because Miles fucking Sanders, bum-ass. And Carolina's horrible. I'll say that. Miles Sanders specifically is definitely touchdown dependent. And also, my team is completely boom or bust. Like, I literally called that week one. Like, I can either boom for 150 or I can bust for 90 like last week. And it's been evident so far.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Not bad.
Well,
I'm excited for this next week. I think there are some good fucking matchups.
I am too.
Yeah. No, I think it's gonna be
good hopeful. One. I'm hopeful of winning, but not because my team's playing well, just because the other team's playing terrible. I think that's like the only reason. If I do win, it's not team production, but preying on the other dude's downfall for sure.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, do we want to jump a little bit into some what happened this week?
Yep.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, firstly, we got to talk about the big controversy. Taylor Swift is 2-0 as the Chiefs owner. And clearly she owns the NFL and potentially most of the refs on the payroll. Look, the
a lot of misholding calls.
Let me add this.
Apparently there were a lot of misholding calls on both sides too, but dude,
that's just Jets fans fucking trying to
defend themselves. Fuck out of here, New York. Fucking hate you.
What you Jets were absolutely robbed.
Chiefs fans. What do you mean?
Chiefs fans. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, let's. Before we jump into the game, I just want to show.
Both these teams, I can't stand.
I want to show the first one that was a big. Let me see if I have this clip pulled up. Oh, it's. I'm so glad that this thing saved for me. Okay.
I hope it's the one that I saw too.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. Here it is.
Right here.
Oh, maybe it's not.
So this is Patrick Mahomes by this point, already thrown two interceptions. He has not had a good game at all. The Jets have him covered. And at this point, Patrick Mahomes is about to throw his third interception of the game. And they call a defensive holding. By the way, the ref is just now calling the flag, as evident right there. I know it's hard to see because we have the logo in the way.
Yeah, but
the
ref is literally
just now calling that flag. That ball was thrown 20 seconds prior, and look at how long it was from when that
dude, the ball was underthrown by one, five fucking two, yards.
Three, a full 3 to 4 seconds.
Okay, I'll say this.
Play that in slow-mo, and then kind of put it there. Yep. And then
I'll say this. If Patrick Mahomes throws that ball 25. In the corner of the end zone.
Where's the holding there?
That's just contact. That's literally just contact.
Yeah, it's just hand fighting.
Yeah. There's no and holding
Patrick,
on that.
If Patrick Mahomes throws the fucking ball in the corner of the end zone and they would have called it then and he would have kept running, I would have been fine with that. But 3 seconds after and they didn't even let them play with the 5-yard contact rule they get. Look at that ball.
Yeah.
Look at that ball. That's like a fucking Daniel Jones throw from last night. It's a
bad ball. Well, and then, okay, so then this happens, right?
This is the one I was talking about.
Oh, hold on. Let me go to this one. So people already are pissed, right? People are already pissed about that bad holding call, right? And then you get to this.
Oh, this is the one I was thinking of, I think.
Watch right here.
Yeah. Yep.
Right there.
Look at that. Oh, my God.
Where's the flag on that?
Hands up, too.
And look at that, dude.
Oh, my God.
And they called the flag, but it was another –
yeah, it was for something else, and it was against the Jets.
It was against the Jets. So
who's the commentator that meat rides Mahomes too?
Oh, Chris Collinsworth, and he was calling.
Yeah, I'm sure he was having a field day.
Look at that!
He was having a fucking field day with that and Taylor Swift. I couldn't stand it.
Look at that, dude!
It was so hard to watch.
That first clip, him going, that's a heck of a play.
Look at the ref. Look at the ref's dumbass too, bro. He's just sitting there.
Where's he looking? No. Look, where's he looking?
No, he looks right at him. Oh no, he doesn't. No, right here.
It doesn't matter.
There's a sideline.
What are you doing, man?
I don't know. That's terrible. It's
embarrassing.
I know I'm just an innocent bystander when I watch this stuff, but at some point I almost feel like the NFL, because it feels so like fucking, man, the Taylor Swift game, she's back in town, you know, all this stuff. And, she's back in town, or I'm sorry, she's at a Chiefs game. She's like the talk of the town. They showed her 12 times, and somehow someone these did two a counter calls. Yeah, someone did a counter for it.
Someone did a counter for it. He was all like, "Who's gonna win? Is it Taylor Swift or Aaron Rodgers?"
This was our fucking thing.
You know it's disrespectful.
Stay on your fucking music side. Don't get involved.
What's disrespectful is Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco had 20 attempts, 115 yards, and a touchdown. On that touchdown, they cut a celly short and straight to T Swift. I'm like, come on, like at one point
he didn't even fucking score. He didn't even block for him.
He didn't
do anything.
Yeah, that was the only part. Like, this is where we draw the line, and it has been crossed. This needs to stop.
Yeah,
it's first Jackson Mahomes, now her.
Oh yeah, here's the clip.
I saw a meme on TikTok here's this.
Yeah, watch. Cut short right there. Watch. It's going to go straight to T-Swift.
Woo! There it is. I love Taylor.
What is that?
I saw Taylor Swift.
She's done nothing. She's done nothing.
I don't love her. She doesn't even know what's happening. Stick to singing.
She has bad taste in men. It's going to happen. Repeat.
I know.
Travis Kelce's going to make her drop a fire.
The next album's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah. She's going to, her and Drake are going to collab.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Certified
no, I saw lover. A meme where it certified was Taylor boy. Some guy, he was talking and he was all like, man, we didn't realize we had it this good. And then it just showed Jackson Mahomes and we were like, man, we argued and bitched and complained about him. Now look at this. This is even worse. We're like, and then someone said, freeze Jackson Mahomes then. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we created
bring him back, man.
Yeah, we did.
Don't free him.
Well, you know, Zach Wilson, he played really well, actually.
He did.
He severely did very well. Through the first quarter, he was already outplaying Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he had, outplayed Patrick Mahomes for game. Yeah.
28 for 39, 245, and two touchdowns. You know, and it's not like, wow, that's like insane. But for Zach Wilson, that is fantastic. Like,
you know,
he struggled so much. No interceptions is great.
He is the first quarterback to go up against Patrick Mahomes that did better than Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know about
in
that.
In a while.
No. He is. It was a stat actually out there. 100%
for like quarterback ranking or something.
Yeah,
that doesn't in that sound game. Right.
It didn't sound right to me either, but that's what it said, and I was like, interesting. Okay.
I think this is when we start seeing Zach Wilson's.
How exact though? Moment.
This is his villain era now. After that game, he's like, all right,
get him some notes, like fellas. Get him.
Oh
some
yes.
Notes.
Him, yeah. Him, and Donna Kelsey, man, damn.
That's what needs to happen.
That's what needs to happen. He needs to cook. Let him cook.
No wrench in the system.
Yeah. Did you guys see that? Like,
what the
have you guys
fuck
seen...
is this headliner, bro?
What?
NBC's what? Chris Collinsworth had live orgasm over Jets' Zach Wilson.
That's so funny. Okay, hold on.
It was like when Howard Stern had the people ride the. What the
hold on.
Are we talking about? The masturbation device.
Wait, hold on.
Zach Wilson. Ooh, he's making all the throws. Micah.
It's like that one kid that wants to be a commentator growing up. Like, oh, Messi. Messi. Oh.
Well,
Yeah.
Is it this one? Anyway, I will just say real quick before we move on, I just felt like Zach Wilson is so like he holds himself to such a standard, and it's so nice to like see just how like selfless he is. I'm like rooting for the guy now, man. Like he blamed the whole loss on him, and he's I gotta be better.
He literally said on the sideline, he said, that was my fault, bro. And all of his teammates were coming up to him, hugging him, like, hey, man, you're good. And he was like, no, it's my fault. Like, I don't like him, but after that, I'm like, let him cook now. Yeah. Like, I want to see
him. That's truthful, or do you think that's just the act?
I think that's truthful.
He did have an incident last year where he blamed his teammates.
Yeah. He did, but I don't think right now it's not. I think Aaron Rodgers being on that team, I think he did. And now I'm like, man, I want to see Zach Wilson cook now after that game. I really do.
I do too. Well, I think this is a.
What were you gonna say, Isaac? Though, sorry.
That's all right. What I was saying is like, I think that's what I was saying. Like when we're gonna start seeing his like character development now, because I think like last season he was real cocky, like first round pick, like you know, like I'm the guy, like no one's coming in soon. Then they get A-Rod, that humbled him. He's like, shit, they're gonna bring a guy in now. And now he's like, this is his make or break season now because like people are definitely like move on from him. So I think like now him starting to be more selfless and kind of like putting himself before the team and trying to like be that leader. I think it's definitely like not really playing the script, but like trying to like keep his job kind of thing. Like he's definitely like got to change.
And realistically speaking, with that as well. That's the first step that team really needs. They need that kind of leadership from the quarterback. They need that from Zach Wilson. And if right now, especially after that game, for what we saw, Zach Wilson is doing that, honestly, I think that I think that's a great first step for the Jets, and I think that they could actually do something with that. And like I said, I think this is Zach Wilson's villain era now. I think he is going to – he's in his villain arc. He's going in. Yeah. I don't think he's going to take that shit anymore. He knows it was bullshit, but he also is like, hey, this is that was on me. I'm not fucking up again. We're doing this shit. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the future and this season and even next season. I'm excited for it. Like I said, let them cook.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the Broncos Bears?
The meme matchup. Yes. I would love to talk about the meme matchup.
And you know what? A meme this game turned out to be.
Oh, yes, it did.
This was a meme and a half.
Broncos this is so country. Ugly, man.
Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's hide.
Broncos country. Let's die.
Hold on. I saw funny. Though.
Jeez, dude.
I'm
looking at the box score right now. It's just pathetic.
I think Chicago, Justin Fields is a bum still. I don't give a fuck how good he played. He's a bum. I still don't like him.
That game was like very similar to my fantasy game. Like you start off really good and you're like, how do you lose this game? Like, you know? And then you lose. You just lose. It's just one of those things.
Wait, and Ed, what did you say is a bum?
Justin Fields.
Oh yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah, no, he's
Man. Broncos country.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
This is the ride, baby. Okay. Broncos
country.
Let's dive.
So the Broncos were down 21-7 going into half. Chicago scored, so they're down 28-7. And then they scored 24 unanswered and won the game 31-28.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Patriots and Falcons Super Bowl lightweight.
Chicago, oh my God, they're so bad, dude. Like you think about like a Chicago fan right now too. It's like, holy shit, we can actually win this game. Like we're up 28-7. We should win this game. We can maybe turn this fucking season around. And then you do that. And that has to be the stamp. That has to be on the stamp, or that has to be the fucking stamp on Justin Fields leaving Chicago.
Did he throw an interception the last play of the game, too?
He did.
But he put a good game, didn't he?
Yeah,
he had a good game.
Like he had a good passing game.
He went 28 for 35, 28 for 35, 335, and four touchdowns. But all of those touchdowns came in the second and third quarter. So the first he was kind of nothing. Russ had 21 of 28, 223, three touchdowns, and then 13 rushing yards. So, I mean, it was
definitely a meme matchup.
It was an efficient game. Yeah, it was. You know, not that we're talking about baseball, not that there's a baseball podcast, but the Cubs, Chicago Cubs, just got eliminated. Like the last two games of the year, they were like they turned into like the coldest team after being the hottest team in baseball. The White Sox suck. The Chicago Cubs, after saying we're selling postseason tickets, get eliminated like 2 weeks later, and. You know, in the baseball world, that was so memed. Like, it was everyone criticized. And now you have the Bears, who are 0-4. So, Chicago fans dealing with the highest crime rate in the country as well. Sorry. Dude, there's nothing for you.
When did he throw that fucking...
Okay. Can't have... You can't have shit in Chicago anymore.
That's actually kind of funny, but...
Hey, Isaac, when did he throw that interception? Bears fan and they're 0-4 like you are 0-4 in your fantasy team.
At least,
I can tell you right now.
I would not be on this podcast. I'd be... I don't know where I'd be. I don't know. Finding happiness would have been, but yeah, no, that's like the Niners' record is the only thing keeping me kind of trucking along, for sure. Yeah.
We'll get into that a little more in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Justin? The way he blames the coaches, like what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I will say, to a point, I understand where he's coming from because if you look at like his production recently, it has been super bad. And then he like comes out and he's like, yeah, it's the coaches and all that shit. At which to a point, I think it is because the coaches don't know how to scheme they're just shit coaches. Matt Eberflus is a terrible coach. But then you look at some of these highlights and you're like, dude, you have wide open receivers the entire time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one thing I noticed.
Yeah.
Wide. I'm pretty sure DJ Moore like literally like got like was walking out the field and he was like, I'm fucking wide open. Like I'm pretty sure he like told Justin Fields because he was like he ran a seam route and all he had to do was look, check back right, and dude, tutty all day for like 35 yards out. Yep. Not even a bad throw.
Okay, so
yeah.
In the fourth quarter, Chicago had the ball three times. Once at the 9:36 mark, once at the 6:55 mark, and once at the 1:46 mark. At the first time that they got the ball at 9:36, they fumbled. Second time at 6:55, they turned the ball over on downs. Third time at 1:46, Justin Fields threw a pick.
Dude,
and you know what? Justin Fields.
Stamp. You're fucking garbage. Get out of Chicago. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He fumbled and it was a tutty, right?
Fumbled and it was a touchdown. Yeah, they were up by seven.
Yes.
And yeah, he fumbled.
Yeah,
and something Cooper. Bro. Yeah, that's brutal. That's just a bad luck.
I really
literally,
like
they're the bad news bears. They're literally bad news bears.
Yeah, they need Mike Ditka to come back. Coach,
like, what a game that was though. Definitely lived up to the meme matchup of the week.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Tale of two halves for sure. Tale of two halves. We'll say it is nice to see Russell Wilson finally get a win. Sean Payton sucks as a coach. He is a god awful, terrible, very bad, no good coach who was carried by Drew Brees his whole career. And it's evident, but Russell Wilson played well, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Any other games that spoke to you guys? Or moving
real quick, we can just cover Dolphins Bills real quick if you guys want. We can just make this quick. This is obviously like the game of the week. You know, if like there's any game that's going to be like nationally televised for everybody, this is it. Even though it's not prime time, it was morning.
That was definitely the matchup of the week for sure.
It was. It was the most hyped matchup going into the week, and man, Buffalo just didn't let up.
No,
at all.
Didn't disappoint.
That's
48-20 was the final score. Josh Allen, 21 of 25. 330 yards, four touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown.
He was damn near perfect.
Yeah, he's really good. He is so good.
What did I tell you guys in week one? What did I tell you guys in week one?
Sorry. All right, I will burn at the stake
here. I said it was going to be a fluke. I said it was going to be a fluke, and look where we're at now. I said week one, that game that they played.
Josh Allen does that every, like, four games.
You guys, he was horrible though, and they were just not.
No, we said that if the Bills don't make it deep in the playoffs, that they should consider.
Keaton's at least being guilty of this right now.
I will say I did call him shit. I did call him ass.
Yeah,
I will take that back. I still think he's sloppy at points. I still think he's sloppy, but he had a fantastic game, and all credit to him.
Yeah.
On the other side, the Dolphins didn't really play well. You know, Tua had an okay game, like okay for Tua standards. Actually bad for Tua standards if you think about it. And then just really no production, no production from anywhere. The defense had the holes that we've all been kind of worried about.
They just didn't look explosive.
Well, their first three games, now that I'm going back to it, their first three games were Chargers, Patriots, Broncos. Teams with easy defenses and subpar offenses.
Right.
And, you know, they finally play the Bills, who to me look like they are the premier team in the NFL. And,
you look at Tua's stats. You look at Tua's stats. He completed 71.4% of his balls, 282 yards throwing, one touchdown, one interception, and a passer rating of 92.8. It's like, that's good enough to win a fucking game.
Yeah.
Maybe not against
not
the Bills,
with that defense.
But probably against 70% of the teams in the NFL, that's good enough to win.
Like, what would you guys rank the Bills, like, wide receiver core? Like,
it's top five for sure.
Top five.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt. Top five. And, yeah, I'm sure they freaking took advantage of that for sure, just passing the ball on the line.
The thing is, I don't know. The Dolphins are also going to struggle because Xavier Howard tore his fucking Achilles, which sucks because he's been fucking balling, dude. He was balling the first couple of games, and all of last year he was injured too, I believe, with a ACL. So you hate to see that, but they're going to fucking struggle against teams like the Bills because of it.
Yeah, they are.
No, definitely. I mean, I think
I guess they did kind of struggle against the Chargers because that was like a really high-scoring game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it like 35, 32 or something like that? 36, 37. Like that. Yeah.
I don't know. Speaking of that, real quick, Zach, does that mean you're going to start Gabe Davis on your this week in fantasy?
I think he's going to be in my flex. As long as Cooper Kupp, actually, he'll start no matter what. Gabe Davis. He'll either be my wide receiver two or flex, depending on if Cooper Kupp can play.
I think, personally, I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah.
He's been anyways, wrong. Continuing.
Yeah. But yeah, that was definitely a telling game, I would say, in the AFC.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
got your little sippy cup there, Keaton?
I do, my little Stanley Cup. the most notable kind of story of this whole week, other than you know some of the games, I think individually, it's probably Puka Nacua, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what his production looks like next week when Cooper Kupp comes back.
That was what I was thinking.
I'm actually wondering if it might increase because of his, because Cooper Kupp's going to go back to being receiver number one, and they're going to still place Puka back in the slot or probably put him up against the number two cornerback. His production might stay the same, but I'm not sure.
Yards, in maybe, this game, not his receptions.
Yeah. Well, he had a down game versus the Bengals, right? And a down game was 5 receptions, 72 yards. Dude, against the Colts, he had nine catches, 163 yards. He almost has 40 catches for 501 yards through 4 weeks. That's and fun. He's a fifth round pick 177 out of where did he play? BYU.
BYU, yeah. Dude, so, his average for each catch that he caught was 18.1 yards.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Guys, now, with that whole thing is, I don't think, like with Zach, because you were talking about how you think his receptions are going to be cut straight in half. I don't think it's going to be cut straight in half. I personally think that he's still going to get more receptions than we think, at least. I don't think it's going to be cut straight in half if Cooper Kupp's back. I think he's still going to get quite a fucking few.
Cut in half, I think, was me just fucking speaking emotionally. Just because I want Cooper Kupp to do well because he's on my fantasy. But I definitely think he's not going to be averaging fucking 10 catches a game. I'll tell you that.
No.
I think we're going to look more towards like 7 5? To 8 in my opinion.
5 to 7?
I'm banking on 7 to 8.
But also, if that is the case, then the fucking Rams are going to be passing. I mean, I guess they are kind of already, but they're going to be passing 70% of the time they have the ball, which they kind of are, but I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see them with both those players just because both of them are kind of slot wide receivers. So I don't know how that's going to work really.
Yeah. Isaac, how are you feeling?
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, what I'm trying to figure out is like, I think the receptions are going to be low, but the targets are going to be the same. I think more it's going to be forced throws. That's going to happen. I think Cooper Kupp's going to get a lot of the attention, and then the targets that Puka gets is going to be like very like just like those really like bad like slants where there's two double coverage, and it's just kind of like the targets are there, but like they're not good. They're not the throws he's getting now.
Yeah,
so right. That's what I think is going to happen more than anything.
Right.
Else.
Yeah,
it will be interesting. I mean, and coming from me, I mean, I'm not even close to being Rams fan. Don't really care for the Rams at all. No interest in watching them, but that isn't right. There is an interest of watching the Rams for when Cooper Kupp does come back.
I'm excited.
I'm curious to see how Puka's gonna do, and I want to see. Right. I'm very curious then to see how well Cooper Kupp will do coming off of this injury. So I will say that when Cooper Kupp is back, I am very curious on watching the Rams game. Then in that case, that is the thing that's got me going for watching that game.
It's great. It's this week for my fantasy.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I see you go 2-3.
Yeah.
Not playing you.
I don't care.
Well, I think for week 4, that's probably all we have. Obviously, there's a lot of games that we could talk about, but there's no really like big meme or like big storyline for these games.
Right.
So do we want to real quick? We can make this short just for time constraints. Do we want to do a power ranking real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will full screen And
I don't want to be.
No.
No.
Well, first team going up on the board right there.
Yeah. Yep, yep. I agree.
Definitely.
Then I'm going to go here.
Yes, Keaton.
Yep. Yes. Good taste so
then
far.
I'm gonna go here.
Going. No. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Maybe four.
I'm inclined just because of the lack of defense.
Now, here's my argument real quick with the Dolphins.
I know. Brother. I know.
Eagles there.
Okay, thank you.
Here's my argument, at least with Miami as of right now, though, with them and Dallas. Just hear me out with this, okay? And this is strictly me just looking ahead right now. Miami plays the Giants. They play the fucking Giants this week. I know they did shit against the Bills. But we all know that that Giants defense is literally dog shit.
Yeah.
Granted, like, the Miami defense is not great either. But I'm just saying, though, okay. Like, do we come above
Dallas because of that? Not going to lie. I think we could put even Miami at six.
Mm. We're going to put Kansas?
Yeah. I think.
What are you going to put? KC?
I think if they match that right now, head-to-head, I think KC wins.
Where even is KC?
There, oh, right there. Next to Jacksonville and Chargers. Look, I don't know about that one because they played against that Jets defense.
They played like shit.
Good matchup, bro. I have KC winning by seven. Head to head, bro. I'm taking fucking Mahomes over Tua any day, and I'm also taking KC's defense versus the Dolphins defense any day.
Now, is T Swifty in attendance or not? That's a factor.
Good point. Because if T Swift is in attendance,
then honestly, Chiefs are number one. Yeah. Like, that's how it is.
Just put every fucking team at 10.
Did you see the NFL's banner put after the game?
Oh yeah, dude, that was Chiefs are 2-0. They said 2-0 as Swifties. That's exactly what it said.
Right after
Chiefs are 2-0 as Swifties.
Yeah,
Swifties. Horrible.
Crazy.
No.
So we're gonna go here. Yes. Actually, this is where. Yeah. Like Seattle team. Beat Detroit, and that's the only mark on Detroit's thing because I'm not going to lie, Green Bay stinks. I was wrong about the Falcons. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
What's your team? Where's your head at? Because my head is in Jacksonville and Washington.
Actually, no.
I'm sorry.
I was looking at Ravens.
I was thinking.
So are you thinking this? Or sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually have four teams.
Jesus Christ, man.
Two that you just put up.
Okay.
I have one that's in the front row towards the end.
Tampa.
Bucks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just beat the fuck out of the States. Put them there. They deserve it. And then I have the Ravens. Sorry, Tyler. I'm sorry. I had Tyler. A team if you're listening.
Oh, the Raiders?
The only other team the Raiders. That I was thinking about was the Browns.
Mm. Yeah.
And even them, I think, would be at 11.
You know who I feel like might be a sleeper team? I'd put the
Browns, if anything, at 12.
Sleeper team for next year, someone I could see somewhere right here, the Texans, man.
Yeah.
I think next year, with the right development and the way CJ Stroud is playing, I think the Texans could sit somewhere in this little area next year. I think they're a playoff team next year.
What do you think they need to like sell themselves as a playoff team, like player-wise?
They
go wide receiver one?
No, they have Nico Collins, and he's been balling. I think realistically right now, offensively, they're set. They are a top 10 offense in football. CJ Stroud is playing like an elite quarterback, right? I will give them the benefit of the doubt. I think where they struggle a little bit is cornerbacks. They just never really had a good – defensive backcourt. They have good linebackers. Okay,
line too.
They're just their defense in and of itself.
I'd
is
say
kind
defensive
of
line and honestly just experience. They're so fucking young.
That's literally they just need time. They just need time.
Yeah, like and it's nice though because
last year.
Yeah, it's nice though because D'Amico Ryan, defensive specialist man.
Like, yeah, once he gets fucking crazy that we have the Lions as the fourth best team in the NFC. Good for them.
I know. I felt like I wasn't going to give the Lions the benefit of the doubt that they needed to come out and wow everybody because for once they're not the underdog and they have. You know, they beat the Chiefs. They beat the Packers. They lose to Seattle, which is fine. But, you know, they look really good. They do look really good.
It'll be a tough matchup in the playoffs for sure.
So, you know what? You know what?
Someone has to go to Detroit.
I'm going to do this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I like too. That's kind of where I had it.
I'm sorry. Jackson, I'm not going to lie. Some of the plays that I watched Trevor Lawrence. Some of the plays I watched of Trevor Lawrence and on Disney Plus, dude, he did not. He had like three wide open touchdowns and he just didn't throw them.
He's a frustrating player.
He is
not even utilizing Calvin Ridley either.
Not really. Christian Kirk had two wide open touchdowns and wasn't targeted at all for those.
And he still has 17 points in fantasy.
I know. No, he did. Well. Yeah, I like Christian Kirk. Well, that's it. Isaac, do you have any like sleeper teams that you would want to add here at all as the guest?
Nah. Like, I mean, besides the Browns, but I kind of like how we are right now. My sleeper pick was probably the Bucks.
Yeah.
In there. So I like this list. It's a good list.
I probably would have said the Browns if they didn't lose the way they did, even without Deshaun. They lost like 3-38. Like, it was just a bad showing altogether. It was embarrassing. So.
Can I point out too that this is probably the easiest power rankings we have probably done so far.
Yeah. This I was just about to say this was like quiet.
Maybe week one. Also,
week one was a battle.
I have a question for you guys. Okay. Out of the teams that we have in the top 10 right now, how many do you think could win a Super Bowl?
I think Juggernauts right now are Niners, Bills, Eagles, Dallas, and maybe Chiefs. Right now, that's what I'm thinking.
I low-key think
that top five, honestly.
Six.
What? Actually, you think it ends at six?
Oh, dude, I low-key think it ends at five. I don't think the Dolphins can do it.
I just don't know about that defense. They are probably going to be buyers. Either. My guess is they're going to be buying at the deadline for future picks.
Yeah.
Probably to someone like Chicago. Or if Atlanta continues to struggle, possibly Atlanta, but I doubt they're going to give up that easily. I just don't know. I don't know what Miami's going to do because they are – That team is Swiss cheese on defense, and they finally got exposed. Then I'm sorry, I was meat riding. I was Chris Collinsworthing it.
No, I was meat riding too on that shit. Fuck yeah,
both y'all were. That was a big ass argument too.
No, we were arguing about that too. 100%. But I mean, hey, fuck.
I will say this team right here, the Eagles. Their defense worries me a little bit too because Jalen Hurts has been playing very good baseball, very good football. And dude, that defense almost lost.
That defense is not the same, bro.
They almost lost to Sam Howell.
Hold on.
I will say, if the Eagles,
where the fuck has Hassan Reddick been?
I don't know.
Hang on, one sec. I haven't heard his name at all. If the Eagles make it to the Super Bowl and the Niners don't, I will say they will lose again. If Eagles squeeze by and make it into the Super Bowl. I don't care. I will say, because what was your question? You said that who will make it to the Super Bowl or who will win the Super Bowl? Zach?
Either one.
Okay. Either if one. We're saying make it to the Super Bowl, I think top five teams right there. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
But if Eagles squeeze their way into the Super Bowl, they will not win. They won't. And
so you think they'd have to you think they'd have to dominate to win?
Yes. I think they would have to dominate to win.
Niners would be such a sick fucking Super Bowl.
I think every team could win the Super Bowl except for this team. So I'm going to take them off. I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to do that. And boom, there's our official list, guys. Thanks for joining.
Oh, man. That's funny. City was
Mavia. Anyway, welcome back. Oh, shit. You watched that? Sorry.
Shit. But that's my I feel like that's could be definitely a hot take with that with my Eagles take there, but I think no matter what, they're not winning. I don't think they can. I don't think their defense, like what Keaton was saying, Jalen Hurts has been balling out, their offense has been balling out for sure. But that defense, Keaton was saying that they're like a few episodes ago, Keaton said that there were holes in the Niners offense. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if anything, that Eagles
defense, I said there's holes in the defense, not on the offense.
That's what I said.
Oh, I think you said offense, but maybe I'm tripping.
You said offense.
If I said offense, my bad. I meant defense. But I think the Eagles have holes. I don't think they're giving up way too much, especially for teams that they have been playing, giving up way too much than they really should be. That Eagles team,
yeah,
like, no. I truly just don't think they'll win it. If they squeeze by, good for them. They're not winning, though. Too bad.
Will find out what they are made of, because they play the Cowboys, the Niners do. And
yeah, I want to talk about this.
Yeah. We talked about last week about Dolphins Bills being the AFC, like, you know, this might be a AFC championship style game, you know. Honestly, I'm going to be real. The Cowboys defense is very, very, very good. And
they're also great on special teams. Great.
Exactly.
Yes. And actually, they're the best team, I think, by a mile on special teams.
And
I
think the Niners
have a good special teams. I think the Cowboys have a dynamic and great special teams.
Yes.
Like, that's
what I would. Yeah.
I was to compare the two teams, I think the biggest difference would be special teams and then just physicality. Like, I'd give special teams to Cowboys. I'd give the Niners physical ability way, way, way more than the Cowboys.
This game right here is going to determine a lot. I am really, really excited for this. There is a reason why, in my opinion, and I think a lot of other opinions out there, this is going to be 100% the matchup of the week. Of week five, this is the matchup of the week. Without a doubt. You could, depending on how whatever other people's power rankings are, but, I mean, you have the number one team in the NFL and arguably top 2-4 team as well, which both defenses are absolutely nuts. Offense are cracked. It's gonna be interesting. I'm really, really excited to see this.
It might just be a slugfest. You have the top two best defenses, because Cowboys right now are ranked number one. Niners are number two, basically.
Right.
But then offensively, the Niners are the most efficient team right now, because of Charlie Checkdown, Brock Purdy, and the Cowboys are like the fourth or fifth best offense right now in football too. So. Yeah. Niners are number two. Cowboys are four or five, because Dolphins are the most efficient.
Who did the Cowboys play this past week?
They played Arizona, and then they just played
They did not, Keaton. They played the
Patriots. No, I said they played Arizona two weeks ago.
Yeah.
They played the Patriots. Was that the first game without Diggs?
Yes. No, second, because he didn't play against the Cardinals.
No. He got hurt during that game, right?
Yeah, I think he got hurt during the Jets game. And, like, right at the end of the Jets game.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because this is, like, something that I'm looking forward to see, is, like, how well they work without Diggs, someone that they trusted so much as like, a secondary.
Right.
I'm not sure who their backup is. But, yeah. I don't know. This is a good wide receiver.
I have some comments. Like I said, I think the two biggest things are going to be special teams. And then, honestly, the biggest thing to me that I think is, like, telling is how the Cowboys lost to the Cardinals. Cardinals pounded the rock down their fucking throat. Pounded it. And I think, again, that's one of those things that the Niners are favored for because of. I think they're just going to be way too physical for the Cowboys. And we're a 4-point favorite, which I think is about right. I think that's definitely going to be something that I'm going to be looking out for, and I think is going to be evident in this game. Another thing that I want to say is the matchup between Micah Parsons and our left tackle Trent Williams and our right tackle Colton McKivitz, who is one of the worst right tackles in the league.
Yep.
Like I said, Trent Williams, and I said this in the last podcast, I think I fucked up because I was really tired, but Trent Williams, our left tackle, is probably the best left tackle ever, if not top three ever. And he has a passer rating while blocking of 89.8. You guys know ratings, that is very, very high. He's going against probably the highest rated defender, maybe besides TJ Watt this year, and Micah Parsons. So I think that's going to be a really cool matchup. And then you fucking switch it. And if I were the Cowboys, I'd have fucking Micah go to McKivitz's side every single time. And is our right, who is probably, in my opinion, the worst offensive player we have starting right now, and probably he has to be in the worst or top 10 worst rankings for offensive tackles as well. So that's one of my biggest worries, because Micah can fucking ruin a game. Another thing I think, again, like with what you said, Keaton, I don't really agree with the Charlie Checkdown. But I will say this game, hold on, I'll give you credit. I will say this game right here, I think specifically is going to be like a telltale sign if Brock can throw the ball deep and we can rely on Brock to make big throws when needed. Because the last 4 games have been fucking cheesecake, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
The defense has played really well. Our offense has played really well. Our team has played really well. But we've played some trash-ass teams, I'll be completely honest. Cowboys are legit, and I think there's just some matchups that are going to be definitely telltale sign if we can win a Super Bowl or even get through the NFC. And then the other thing that I want to say, for people that don't know us, we definitely say like some jokes about like yapping people. I didn't say this earlier and killing people, but don't mean that fucking shit. I don't want to fucking throw that out there and people be like, damn, like look at these guys. Like we're going to cancel them if we ever do get fucking more popular. So
I don't look,
I know. Mental health awareness as well. Month. So that's mental health. Yeah. 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 But yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to be a crazy fucking game and I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
Then there's some other fucking matchups that we can just go through really quickly. Giants versus Dolphins. Unless you have something else to say for that.
Yeah, Isaac, do you have anything to say about that? You are also a Niner fan here.
A Niners fan.
Yeah, I think I what was like kind of going through my head this week is I think this is when we like how we just said earlier, like how we see Brock. Because, like, I think a lot of people are giving him the benefit of the doubt. It's like, oh, well, he's in a good system. He has all these weapons. But what can he actually do with these weapons? Because, like, how Zach said, it's been a cakewalk for every single game. Right. Like, I never had a doubt in my mind that we were going to lose at all. But, yeah, with this defense, I'm excited to see. Because if Brock plays well and we win, I don't think anyone can ever, like, talk shit. Like, I think sets himself as a good quarterback. He is the guy.
And so that's the biggest thing to me too. Like I say if we beat the fucking Cowboys by 10 and Brock does another game where he's 20 for 21, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and manages the game perfectly, I don't think you can say anything against him. Anything.
No, it's I think I'm excited for that. That's what I'm excited for this week.
Yeah.
Not much for beating the Cowboys.
It's gonna be really fun.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always said that I truly think Brock Purdy, real quick on this, has really good pocket presence. I think his years at Iowa State just kind of taught him because Iowa State did not have a good offensive line for the 4 years that he was there. And his ability to know when to move up in the pocket and throw the ball, not take sacks, I think is really impressive.
Yeah.
He's had some really good throws that I joke about him being Charlie Checkdown, which I think he is to a degree. But I think – with what you're saying, I think this is a potential, you know, this is like, yeah, you played fantastic last year. I don't know how you were going to play against the Eagles in that game. Like that could have been a make or break moment. We don't know. So for me, this is like the Cowboys are better than they were last year. You guys beat them last year.
Significantly better.
Pretty handily. This to me is like how you're saying that make or break. I think Brock Purdy, anything, like even if he puts up 150 yards, I'm just not going to be like, oh man. Because he's going to have to play against teams like this in the Super Bowl. Obviously, if he's healthy, if they make it, you know, he's got to, you know. But it's also his, like, first huge game like this because the Eagles, he nearly died. So, you know, I mean, his elbow disintegrated.
Yeah, I don't know. This is my thing, too. I feel like Brock right now is, and I don't say this as a Niner fan, I think he's better than an average starting quarterback. But in order to make the leap where it's like, oh, we can see him be a top 12 quarterback, top 10 quarterback.
A franchise guy.
Exactly. A franchise quarterback. You have to play well against the best defenses you've ever seen. And this is by far, maybe besides the Eagles defense that he got injured with, the best defense he's ever seen.
And so, I think
it's going to be really fucking.
And it's also in Dallas. And they, you know that they're pissed from last year when they lost.
Also, shout out fucking. Sorry, Isaac. Go for it.
I was going to say, is it in Dallas?
It is in Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, shit. But one thing.
No, it's at home. It's at home.
Is it I was going to say, I don't think it's in Dallas.
I thought it was.
Anthony made this backwards, or whoever made this.
Yeah, no.
But, I didn't do that. I just said not
to
me. No, that was me. I wasn't paying attention to that. That's on me.
Oh. Anyway.
I remember what I was going to say. I think it's like when I talk about Brock, I think it's funny how these discussions are handled based on like where he's at in his career. He's like has he even played a full season worth of games?
No.
He's played, what, maybe dozen games?
He barely has. Yeah, no, it's like 13 or 14 right now.
Yeah, 13 or 14. And, like, that man's, like, for 14 games, and, like, I think it's the IQ that he has. I'm just like,
right.
He's so smart.
You're second year like quarterback, and like just like you may not be doing like these like outstanding plays that like some of these other rookie quarterbacks can be doing and stuff like that, but like you're doing what we need to do, and you're smart with the ball, and you're smart with your decisions, and he can read defense. Quarterbacks and, like, new into the NFL can do that.
He's also agile as fuck.
Yeah,
he is dumb agile. Like, I don't know if that was a pro or a con on him, but that man can fucking move. Yeah. Get away from fucking defenders, stay in a pocket, throw a ball where it's like, damn, how the fuck did he even get that off? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think he's a very smart quarterback for where he's at in his career.
Right.
And also, and if he finishes –
shout out Aaron Banks. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. I was just going to say, if he ends his career – or if he, like – if his career plays out, like, the way that it's projected to, and he really, like, what my player comparison is, minus the agility, is Jared Goff. I am not turning on a Niners game to watch Brock Purdy. I am not like Brock Purdy.
Entertainment wise, at least.
Yes, entertainment wise. And I also see that, like, when you think about Jared Goff, you think of a safe, smart quarterback, doesn't have a lot of interceptions, except for this year. Like, he's just a reliable, efficient guy. Because he's had like three interceptions in 4 weeks or whatever. But he just hasn't like really made a ton of mistakes. And I see Brock Purdy as like, I don't think Brock Purdy is going to go for 400 yards like a Justin Herbert could or a Tua could or something like that. But I think if you need him, he will be there. And I think Jared Goff fits that same system. And honestly, if that's where he is, that's fine. Jared Goff last year was a top six, top seven quarterback, and that's it got him to the playoffs almost. So
Brock said this after a game. He says that I think this is kind of like also showing that like he doesn't really care about being this flashy guy. Because, like, he said, like, the one thing that he likes about this year's team is that everyone has the same mindset. It's not about, like, who can have the highlight reel. Like, we just want to win. And so I think that's also another factor. It's like, Herb or Brock Purdy does not care about, like, like, all the stats. He just cares about.
He just wants to win.
He doesn't give a fuck about fantasy, bro.
No.
Yeah.
Also, I want to give a shout out to Aaron Banks, our left guard. He has not given up a sack in 200, and I think it was 18 attempts, which is kind of wild for a fucking guard. But that was my point with that being our left side of our fucking line is solid. Our right side is not. So if I'm the Cowboys, I would say put Micah on the fucking right side the whole time, and then we'll have fits. So I think it's going to be a crazy matchup with that. And I feel like the Niners and Cowboys have a lot of matchups like that. Debo, whenever he plays the fucking Cowboys, different breed for some reason.
I know. I need him to perform. He'll
probably be used really well. He'll play well as long as he's not injured.
Yeah.
But that's definitely the most excited game I've been for probably this whole year, or the most excited I've been for this.
Agreed. Because one more thing, real quick, and then we're gonna move on to the next game. Because the last, I'd say as of right now, before the Cowboys, hardest team you guys have gone against is the Rams. In my opinion, Rams are the hardest team you guys have gone against this season, and they're, my opinion, not even the tough team.
They were just coming off a really good win against Seattle, like a huge
they were. Right. They were.
So a lot of momentum, a lot of heart.
Yeah. I just wanted to
This is definitely the most excited I've been for a game all season, and probably since that Eagles fucking game that destroyed me, so. Honestly, going into that Cowboys game when we watched them in the playoffs last year, I was like, there's no way, bro. Like, I've seen this so many times. Like, I didn't think Dallas could match up with the Niners at all. And then this year, when I've seen their defense and special teams playing, I'm like, dude, if the Cowboys capitalize on any mistake that we fucking make, they can fucking beat us easy.
Right.
So I'm really excited for this game, and I feel like it's probably the most excited I've been for a game this year, like I said. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a crazy game.
Yeah.
But moving on to some of the other games that we had on the preview. Giants versus Dolphins, man.
Blowout game of the week, baby.
Fucking laugh, man, because the Broncos are so sorry, especially on defense, and the Dolphins have probably the best statistically-wise.
Giants.
Yeah. Giants defense has one of the worst defenses in the league. And the Dolphins have statistically wise the best defense or best offense in the league, I believe, besides maybe the Bills.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be a blowout. I think another they might 70 win by game? 17, bro. Not 70, but they might score 50. I hope so for my sake, bro. I hope Tyreek Hill goes fucking ballistic. But
no,
dude, the Giants and the Broncos, I think, are the two worst teams in the league. The Giants defense are pillow fighters. And on paper, the Giants defense doesn't even look bad. They just, I think they seriously don't want to play for the Giants. Like, I genuinely think that's what's
happening. I wouldn't.
They weren't even that bad that year, were they? Like, probably like 11?
No, last year they were decent, bro. They were
good. They were good defense. They were top 10, I believe. They
won a fucking playoff game.
Look, Daniel Jones has been shit. Daniel Jones is shit, has been shit, always been shit. He was just good last year because teams didn't know he could run the way he could, and they didn't know how to scheme against him. It was kind of the same thing that we're seeing with Geno right now. Although Geno's playing okay, he is not playing as good as he was last year. He shocked a lot of teams. So, I just, dude, as a Seahawks fan, the way we got to Geno, fuck. Or, I'm sorry, the way we got to
11 sacks.
Daniel Derps. Yeah, I think it got changed to 10 sacks. I was happy. I was really loving it. So.
Anyway. Looking on to the next game, Jets versus Broncos, which is probably the reason I fucked up because I saw it below. But that's got to be one of the meme matchups of the week, if not the meme matchup of the week. I mean, both teams are 1-3, have struggled with fucking big names going to their franchise this year and not performing or not being able to perform. Is Zach Wilson going to be legit? Is Sean Payton going to be able to turn something around, bro? Like, this to me is just a fucking meme.
In general, this is a do or die. For both these teams and the hopes they had, going into the year. You know, it's kind of similar to that Giants game last night where they kind of almost had to win against Seattle because Seattle has a kind of easy schedule for the next few weeks after the bye. And the Giants have like four teams who have like a combined win percentage of 750. And you know, the like two teams with high expectations performing poorly, it feels like a make or break game. Like this is either like you win this game and you go to 2-2, or you lose this game and you go to 1-3. And there probably goes your chances of making the playoffs in an already tough schedule that you guys are enduring.
This means a lot for both teams. I think whoever loses is done. And something has to happen, whether that's you're benching the quarterback that doesn't play well, you're firing someone. I don't think Sean Payton or Saleh will get fired. I just don't think it's possible right now, but you got to change something, especially for both teams that were overhyped, you know?
Yeah, what do you think of Russell Wilson if he loses?
I think Russell Wilson
is gone.
I think he's got at least a year left. I think he's got a year left after this, personally.
The Broncos can't really do anything with him because of how much dead cap he would bring onto the team. And honestly, the last 3 weeks, he's looked really good. The Dolphins game is an outlier because he couldn't do much. And even then, honestly, Russell Wilson has had a very extremely, honestly, for him, good year, considering like his last three in Seattle were just kind of shit.
Yeah.
I think he's played better than I thought he has. Yeah. I just think it's just the Broncos defense is so bad.
He's having like a Pro Bowl year.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He has 67.4 completion percentage, 1,014 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 106.7. Some of those are better than like Tua, Patrick Mahomes.
He's played very well. The Broncos defense gets much more buzz. And honestly, when we saw that, you know, the Broncos lost or the Broncos won, there wasn't a lot of talk of Russell Wilson. It was a lot of talk of Justin Fields and the Bears. So I think Russell Wilson keeps flying under the radar like this. At some point, they're going to start winning. And I think he's starting to regain his confidence because he's not in a big market. Right. And that team has just at this point, it's like there's only up from here.
Agreed. So what do they have to win?
Yeah, exactly. They've already lost in that trade. So.
And real quick, the next team, the last team we want to talk about real quick is honestly another meme matchup. Honestly, in my eyes, I see all three of these games are all meme matchups in their own way. This next game, Bengals and Cardinals. Fuck.
I got something to say about this specifically.
Cardinals are going to win by a lot. Let's just put it out there.
I put this game specifically on our little preview because I thought these two teams are completely opposite. I think the Cardinals could actually be 3-1 if they were decent at closing games. So,
okay.
With that being said, I think that the Bengals are probably the surprise team of the year where they're 1-3 where they shouldn't be. They should be like a 3-1 team, which we all thought. And the fucking Cardinals, which we all thought were probably going to get what's the boy's name from USC? Why can't I name his name? Williams. Caleb Williams as the number one pick because they're going to be so bad. And they're 1-3 but have been competitive in every single game. They were competitive against the Niners. At one point, I was like actually worried. I was like, holy
fuck. And they were competitive. Like, they almost beat the Giants.
Us. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So it's like these two teams are completely opposite, but they're both 1-3 and this is a make or break again game for both these teams.
Bengals need this bad, man. They need this really bad.
They do.
You know, we, you know, highlighting what we talked about in our week zero preview going into week one, you know, we broke down what teams we thought were going to finish where. It may have been week one, but I think all unanimously, I believe we all had the Bengals in the AFC Championship. And, you know, you watch first game, it's like, okay, it was a rainy game. Second game, okay, clearly, like, Joe Burrow's not healthy. It's been 4 weeks. Joe Burrow has played like shit. He's looking like the $1 million fraud. And at some point, you just can't keep blaming – you can't keep blaming his injury.
No.
I'm sorry. Players have played with injuries and succeeded. But both sides of the ball, that team is just not responding.
But and also, honestly, is that coaching?
So what I was going to say is
– sorry. Continue.
No. I was just going to say, like, when you're watching, like, how the Giants are reacting to certain plays and, you know, they're getting up in arms and they're trying to start fights – I see kind of the same thing in the Bengals. You know, you're already seeing Jamar Chase. Like, I'm always fucking open, you know? I wonder if Zach Taylor's – I feel like Zach Taylor's lost that locker room, and he's his way to losing that fully.
Yeah.
And if he does –
Also, if you're Zach Taylor and you know that he's injured, sit him. Sorry, yeah, you paid a bunch of money, but dude, you're worsening his injury by fucking keeping him in.
I agree. Yeah. And it's also like – his value, like if you ever did want to do something with them, if you keep doing this, his value is going down.
Their backup is Jake Browning, so really they have no choice.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair, but.
Anyway. Well,
I have a question.
Is there anything, Ant? Yeah, I was going to say, Ant, did you want to say anything on that?
So, three teams, because I mentioned they're all meme-y in their own ways. Okay.
A little bit.
You have the Giants and the Dolphins. It's a meme fucking matchup. Due to realistically, the Dolphins should absolutely destroy 70. Them.
God, they should win by 50 again.
You have the Bengals and the Cardinals, what we just talked about. And then you also have the Jets and the Broncos. What takes the title as our meme matchup for this week? We talked about the matchup of the week, but what is the meme one? Out of these three,
Bengals, Cardinals.
Zach, what about you? Or do you want me to go to Isaac?
Oh, man.
Isaac, if you got one right now,
I don't know. I think it's got to be the Jets game.
That's Jets where game? I'm at, too.
Yeah.
That's
where I'm at. But too. I think it's close.
Yeah.
I could see the Bengals, like, not turning around, but, like, playing at least decent enough to beat the shit out of the – who's the team that they're playing again? I don't know why.
Cardinals.
I think I could see, like, the Bengals fucking – running the Cardinals, if they actually turn it around and play decent, I think that other game is just too meme-y in itself, man. There's too much going on with those two teams, man. Yeah, and also, I don't know why. I'm, like, rooting for Zach Wilson, but I feel like he's just a meme in himself too, man. I think it's just funny, like, watching him play, and, like, I can't tell if he's faking this shit or if, like, he's actually, like,
I don't know.
Developing, like, his character. I don't know. There's a lot going on with that, but both of them are really good.
Yeah. Okay.
I just think if you let Josh Dobbs beat you, that's it, man.
Yeah.
You can't let a backup a journeyman who like
that'd be bad.
Let's dude, can I just highlight a real quick story? After the win against the Cowboys, Josh Dobbs went to a team store to buy his own jersey.
Oh yeah,
I saw that.
They didn't even have the jersey. So if you lose to that guy, I'm sorry, man. The Prudential number one overall pick team. It's over. That's it. Your season's done. Like this has to be a win for the Bengals, or they could just cut it short. So.
Agreed. Yep. Agreed.
Well,
Keaton? Thanks. Appreciate you staying for as long as you did. Happy National Boyfriend's Day as well. Well, you know, it's been a hell of an episode, Isaac. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on. Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
We wish you luck this week in fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'm gonna need all of it. Need all of it.
Well, sweet. Well, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll see y'all next week. Thanks all for tuning in. Sir.